Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. John and Lance, along with Aaron here on ESPN 97.5, and a happy, happy day. What with our Astros being able to take two out of three from the vaunted Kansas City Royals. I want to, you know, we make fun.
It wasn't easy.
We make fun of that they can't beat the Royals, but in truth, it's not a bad lineup, and the pitchers aren't bad. You know, they've got a lot of young talent.
The young pitchers are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
The one who looks like Paul Dano from There Will Be Blood, he's pretty good. The other one with the lefty who likes to throw the ball that zips and dips and slides and
Lynch
glides.
And, yeah. We've got different guys.
2 days ago, Lynch. They've got a couple guys that can throw. They're not terrible.
It, you know, it's funny, but they're going to learn to, you know, they got Salvador Perez.
Hard to get out if you're an Astro.
No. You throw to Salvador Perez instead of Santana because Santana had a hit one time somewhere. I don't know. I'm still pissed about Dusty pitching to him with first base open and him winning that game against the Astros. That was like 2 weeks ago. But I never forget stuff like that. Taylor Jones with missing that pop-up, okay?
Yeah, Taylor Jones missing the ball in the outfield, the other day.
You know, I do like to think that I am forgive. I like to think that.
You're a grudge holder.
I am a grudge holder. Jones could go.
You're an Italian grudge holder.
20 for his next 20.
You know, I know I won't mention a restaurant, but you went to her. I asked you if you had another colonoscopy. You said, yeah, actually, I did. I went to this restaurant. Guess how much? Like, I can tell you're going to hold a grudge against that place.
Oh, that place is done.
Yeah.
No. And it's, why can't I mention it?
Well, you could, except that I think it was mentioned by Steven on Friday last week.
Yeah, guess what? The place sucked. Guess what, Steven? Thanks for that. Place sucks. Anyway.
They're real proud of it.
How much they charge. For those of you who missed, we had a Culture Map. We had Steven from Culture Map on, and he recommended a restaurant. Yeah, don't recommend that anymore.
You're saying it should have been, here's places to avoid?
Yeah.
A segment? Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, don't go there, okay? Don't
that
ever do that.
Like something we want on the radio.
So anyway, the Astros, you know, I don't know what he was thinking. Bregman was going to score anyway, but Pineapps throwing to first base as opposed to wheeling and trying to get Bregman was going to score. I mean, Myers hit that ball so hard, went off of his leg, and he headed towards first base. He got the out at first. You know what? He did get the out, so if you look at his ERA, it's going to be better by one out. But the winning run scored. The Astros win. It was a tough, hard-fought game. I don't know what you do with Christian Javier right now.
Javier screws. Man, our starters are getting screwed right now.
Right. Javier has screwed the pooch a few times.
Javier just screwed. He may be soon enough. He may be battling Jake Odorizzi for that spot. Because I tell you what, Javier screwed McCullers. Fromber got screwed the other day by a couple different relievers. Luis Garcia, you know, made it through. He made it unscathed. But lately, the starters have had – Fromber got screwed twice. In his last two starts, but they've got a. This is the inconsistent bullpen thing is starting to creep up again, and here recently. But what I mean, Javier giving that up was just terrible. Come do your job.
You got the win. You got the win.
Come in and do your job.
But it is virtually every other outing now. And Javier's coming in there in big leverage situations because you got to have him. But it's literally every other outing that he's given up big runs.
Well, it was a two-out bomb, too. Like, you can't have that.
First pitch, and he gives up the grand slam. Against the Angels, he came in, pitched two innings, gave up an earned run. Against Minnesota, two innings, he gave up three hits and an earned run. Against Seattle, He gave 2/3 of an inning. He gave up an earned run. Two of those were losses. And, you know, the Seattle game was an 11-4 win, so it really didn't matter. But you just can't have Javier coming in there. Those outings, two of those four directly, and almost led to a third loss against Kansas City yesterday. Yeah.
And that would have been devastating to know that you can't beat the Royals in a series.
But again, with the 3-1 lead, now Bregman's back, and boy.
Hey, Bregman played right off the bat. Two of his first three at-bats were hits.
Yeah.
I mean, he ended up with a couple hits. But Bregman played well. Bregman didn't look like he missed any time.
No.
For a guy who was, I think, 2-27, I believe, was his final numbers in Sugar Land, Bregman came out like he hadn't missed a beat.
No.
That was nice to see.
That was really, really nice to see. So that's good. That is good stuff. Right there to see Bregman back and to see Tucker back and to see him back out there. And you know what? We'll hear from Eduardo Perez in a little bit. But with these guys coming back, you know, who knows? That Yankee offense, I don't know if you can compare to it if you want to know the truth. I just don't know that this team, I don't know. If I'm a pitcher, would you rather face the Yankees or the Astros?
You know, I would say I'd rather face the Astros, but you know, realistically, I don't know that there's a lot of pitchers who really are dying to get.
No. I mean, it's the best.
I think the Astros
are
deeper.
It's the best, too.
The Astros are deeper. I think 1-7, I would say the Astros are maybe more consistently dangerous 1-7. There's a lot of guys 1-7 who can beat you. Honestly, on certain nights, 1-8 now. Jake Myers is getting hits.
Yeah.
Jake Myers is getting hits. You could make a case that Jake Myers should be further up in the lineup, but they're not going to. They're not going to put him there. By the way, Bregman was in the 6-hole, and yeah. Carlos was in the 5-hole. Aledmys Diaz starting a game yesterday. They're going to keep Aledmys Diaz's bat in the lineup when they get a chance to.
We had one of the guys who covers the Astros. He said, hey, he sent me his article and said, hey, it was Brian McTaggart. He was listening to us, and he said, "Hey, I wrote this yesterday." I said, "This is Aggie Day, so I didn't read your stuff. I'm sorry. Today's Aggie Day." Mm-hmm. So, but Brian McTaggart said, "Yeah, Dusty said he was going to hit him lower in the lineup. I don't know how much longer he stays lower in the lineup. You want to know the truth? If he's going to hit like that, he's back up to the 3-hole."
you don't have to rush. I mean, there's no reason to rush. You've got Aledmys. I mean, Carlos Correa's earned that spot too. Dusty is willing to move guys around. I don't have any problem with Bregman hitting where he was. That's not a problem either. Hitting him at 6, hitting him at 5, hitting him at 3, whatever. Hit him at 7. I don't think he's going to hit 7. I don't think that's ever going to be the case. But I don't. You know what? Is this an ego thing? Like it doesn't matter to you. The lineup for years when the Astros were less potent. And for lineups that are less potent, you do try to take a look. Like, it really does matter. Okay, who's hitting in a 2-hole? Is this going to be something where they can finally get some pitches to hit because you got a good 1 and you got a good 3-hitter when it's, you know, Bagwell and Biggio and whoever's hitting in a 2-hole, you think, okay, they're getting better pitches to hit. In this lineup, it doesn't matter. 1 can hit, 2 can hit, 3 can hit, 4, 5, 6. To me, it's almost just, I don't know. It's just a number where you're hitting. It doesn't even matter. There's not strategic. I don't see anything that's advantageous from a strategic standpoint. I always think the 2-hole for the Astros is a good place to be when Jose Altuve is hitting the ball well. But I truly believe that you just want a lineup. You want an RBI producer somewhere in the middle of that lineup. And other than that, what difference does it make?
Yeah.
Alex Bregman hitting 2, hitting 6. Doesn't matter where he hits.
No, it really does. No, it doesn't. When you're looking at this lineup now, and look at LeMahieu, Judge, Gallo, Rizzo, Stanton, Voit, Odor, Sanchez, Torres, Brett Gardner. It's pretty good. So is the Astros, though. I'm not going to take anything away from the Astros, and we'll hear from Eduardo Perez a little bit later in the show. There are a lot of people in baseball that think that the Astros are more dangerous than the Yankees, but. So Bregman is back, and here he is talking about his soft tissue injuries. Hopefully, they're a thing of the past.
Yes, feel great. We have a good prep routine in place. Good warm up before the game. And then, you know, playing a lot smarter. Not putting myself in higher risk to injure myself. But also playing hard. I'm playing. I've always played. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited to be back in front of these fans and be back with my teammates. And I'm excited.
Man,
he sounds excited. Yeah, he sounds
excited. Wow. He is really...
The guy's hyped up to be back.
Holy crap. I hate to think when he's depressed.
The fire is burning inside.
If he's depressed, he like says like one word a minute. Goodness gracious. Pick it up a little, Alex.
It's a chance
back.
For us to and, all be able to play together again. And I can hardly contain myself about this baseball team. Oh. God.
Man, cool. I hate to see him at a funeral.
Goodness, I know. Alex Bregman's going to give the birthday toast. Oh, no.
Man, everybody break out your tissue. Goodness gracious. Pick it up. What about, let's hear from
but,
I'll tell you
get
what.
Can you get me the opposite of Alex? Who's going to be hyped
up? Jake Myers.
Okay.
Jake Myers has got to be, he's got to be happy.
He's living his best life. He went from minor league salary to major league salary.
Oh, what?
And he went from Skeeter ball, which is not bad baseball.
No.
To Astro ball, which is, that's the big.
Jake Myers went from, he was playing in, I'll go look it up again, but it was, go ahead. But let's hear Jake, who's got to be really, really excited.
Great moment. Great team win. I'm happy we fought back and won. That was a big game. And it was fun to be a part of it. Like you said, I'm glad I was up in that situation. I'm happy. That was a lot of fun, but I'm glad we won.
So, just 3 years ago, he was in Buell's Creek. Then he was in the Quad Cities in 2018. 2019, Corpus, then he was in Fayetteville, and then he was, he didn't spend much time. He had 68 games in Sugarland, and then here he is.
Mm-hmm.
So, he was in Buell's Creek just 3 years ago. You know how happy he is?
Well, he played no minor league baseball last year.
Yeah, right. There was none.
So when you look at his jump is even more substantial when you think about it.
Yeah. No. So Carlos Correa created, we touched on it in the morning. We had our Aggie show yesterday. So we touched on it in the morning where Carlos Correa told The Athletic that you know, he hopes to win a World Series in his last year here. Well, on the Wheelhouse, they had Andy McCullough, who wrote the article. We'll hear from him. Maybe this isn't Carlos's last year. We shall see.
What?
But first, Craig DeCerf.
Let me tell you about Craig DeCerf. He is the guy that I've been dealing with from a car standpoint since the 1560 days. Really a great guy. Starts with him as a person, and I'll tell you why. Because he's the leader over there, and it trickles down to everyone else. They love working for him. There's very, very little turnover from service to sales to everything in between. People love working for him because he's upbeat, he's positive. But he's also someone who believes very strongly in not pressuring anyone. I mean, he wants to make it just like if he were going to buy a car, he wants to make that same experience the case for you. So that when you go in, you are going to be greeted by a sales member whenever you are interested. They will answer any questions they have for you. They're not going to pressure you. They're going to make sure that they get all of the dealer purchase allowances available. They're going to find every discount they can possibly find. And then they'll let you take it from there. They're out in Angleton, but I'm telling you, that drive is worth a few $1,000s in your pocket just because of the savings that they have with their trading values. LanceZCars.com to see their entire inventory. LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So Carlos Correa did an interview with The Athletic, and in it, he said, you know, since this is my last year with the Astros, I want to win a World Series. Well, I mean, were you taken aback by it at all?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, just because he's saying it was a definitive statement. He didn't say if this is my last.
Right.
He made the comment, this is my last.
Well, all indications are right now that, well, he'll be a free agent. And the Astros have a chance to get him. They still have a chance.
Well, even if you think that they don't have a chance, they're not. Okay. Is there a chance that you could hit a hole-in-one? Is there a chance?
Yeah, but there's a much better chance of Carlos Correa.
Okay, that's fine. Can you hit a hole-in-one?
Can I get a hole-in-one? No, I can. Yeah, I can.
You could.
I did once.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think right now I could? What's the number one deterrent to me getting a hole-in-one right
lack
now?
Lack of playing golf ever?
That's right. If I don't step up to a tee box, how's it possible to get a hole-in-one?
Well,
but the Astros aren't even in the tee box.
Well,
are they making offers?
No, he said we're not going to negotiate and we're not going to try to do that during the season. But the Astros will have a chance just like everybody else once the offseason
comes. They'll have a chance. Will they take it? Because they didn't do anything for Georgie. They didn't do anything
Well,
for,
maybe they want to see what the market is.
They didn't,
just like Carlos does.
I can
does.
Tell them what the market is. High.
Yeah, no, no,
a
no.
Lot.
Listen, you did a promo. You were talking about Everson Griffin saying, hey, the grass isn't always greener when you leave. He's back with Minnesota right now, even though he said that Kirk Cousins was ass. Now he's his quarterback. And you know, the grass isn't always greener. And you were negotiating for the Astros
right.
with Carlos Correa.
Because somebody's
and
got
I
to.
Was with.
Somebody's got to.
I was with the guy who knows Carlos Correa, I mean, very well. And you offered $240 million
yeah.
over 8 years.
I offered an 8-year $30 million deal.
Yeah, $240 million.
That was my offer.
And he said, "Okay, done. Take it. He'll take it.
He thinks he'll take it."
But the Astros didn't offer that.
Well, I made it in their stead.
I know, right? You were speaking for the Astros, just
yeah.
like you were speaking for Bob McNair
well,
with
sudden,
Al Davis.
Can somebody get this news to Jim Crane that Lance Zierlein? Yep. Wow, another breaking story from the Kings of Houston Sports Radio. Yesterday we break the quarterback thing, and now we're breaking Carlos Correa's offer that I made on behalf of the Astros, and he took it. He didn't
well,
take it, but
he
somebody
didn't take
who knows
it. His
him
representative
took it.
Who's speaking for him took it,
okay,
just
so
like you.
I just want to make sure. So somebody who doesn't necessarily represent right. the Astros made an offer that somebody who doesn't necessarily represent Carlos Correa
right.
took.
And it was accepted.
Well, this happens in sports bars and
every day.
Fantasy football, all the time.
However, Andy McCullough, who wrote the article, was yeah. on with the Wheelhouse, Art. He was on with the Wheelhouse, and he said, while it appeared that Carlos Correa closed the door on the Astros, maybe not.
I mean, I don't think it's a final decision at all. I mean, I think that if the Astros win the bidding, you know, I'm sure they'll resign. But I saw that some of the story was aggregated as like, you know, Correa closes the door on the turn. It's just like, that's not what he said. You know, he was talking about it with a sense of finality, but like, he didn't say, I'm never coming back. I don't want to come back. It was just basically that, you know, he understands that this could be his final season with the Astros, and he would very much, you know, like to win a World Series.
Yeah, I mean, there was nothing in there. To me, there was nothing in there that said it's over. You know, this right now, this is his final season. This is it for Carlos Correa. And this right now, yes, this is it because he is going to go on the free agent market. And I'm almost can. We'll see what I don't know if there's going to be any tampering or what he's going up to Dallas. He's going up to Arlington now, and he is going to play there. I have a feeling they're going to be, they've got to start doing something in Arlington. You know, they weren't afraid to go get Alex Rodriguez in one of the dumbest contracts in Major League history. And I don't think that they're going to be afraid to to give Carlos Correa that kind of money as well. They need to start doing something up there, and to have a guy that's been here in the state of Texas and a guy who I don't want to speak for Carlos, and I'm not going to speak for Carlos Correa, but by all accounts, Dallas would not be unattractive. You know, it's terrible baseball. That's the problem. That's
well,
the problem.
There's the grass is greener comment.
But $300 million would make that. You know.
Come on now, $240 million if he just accepts my offer that I've made for the Astros.
Yeah, no, no.
$240 million versus $300 million. Honestly, he doesn't even get to the $60 million in his life. He never even gets to that to that money. Is it really worth sacrificing? Is it really worth sacrificing an opportunity to win? Just because you've got more money backloaded at a time, you know, maybe he tries to own a professional team. I don't know, but is there any reason that you can't take your $240 million and enjoy life as a guy who's got a chance to win?
Real, I know, right? Why can't you just take $240 million and stop being so damn greedy with your $300 million.
This is a question somebody would need to get Mike Trout on and get his actual honest opinion, where he probably wouldn't even admit it to anybody, not even himself in the mirror. But you got to think, all the money, all the time in L.A., the king of L.A., yeah, and he's the best player the Angels have, for what?
Well, it's why Deshaun Watson wants
that bank account.
It's why Deshaun Watson wants out of jail.
However, it's different because Mike Trout stayed where he has been the whole time.
Yeah, but that's what you asked.
Yeah,
him.
But
like, hey, you took the big payday. Is the extra money to stay in crappy L.A. and not win anything worth it?
Well, again, that's his team that has been his team his entire career.
But would he rather?
Would he rather go somewhere and win?
Would he trade?
Or
it in?
Would he like to be loyal to the city that has?
I think this
is different because Carlos Correa would be going to another city that had a crappy team. At least Mike Trout was loyal to the Angels.
He was loyal. He's loyal because he also got a bazillion dollars, a super long-term contract. Like, that's not even loyalty. That's just a ton of money. That's a giant. You know when it's really easy to be loyal? When somebody throws a giant chest full of cash at you, a giant chest of gold. I am really loyal. You know who else?
But you know what? He would have got a giant chest of gold anywhere.
But he got it early. He got it early. And here's the thing. I don't know that he would have gotten that many years. I don't know that he would have gotten that. There's a very few amount of stupid teams willing to give those kind of long-term deals. But here's the question I would have for you, John. Do you think if he was in private, to Aaron's point, if he were in private and you ask him, would you trade that in for less money to have a chance to win every single year, to be in the playoffs, to be in the tournament every single year?
He could have done that,
despite
though.
Despite the loyalty, I wonder right now if he'd say, yeah, I wouldn't mind being out of here and going a chance to win. That's what Deshaun wants to do.
Well, I don't want to speak for Mike Trout. I have no idea what he might say. No. I love the Angels organization, despite the fact that they kill people. You know what? I love the Angels, and I've been an Angel, and I'll always be an Angel.
I'll bet you more than money he'd like to win right now. Unless he's just a guy who doesn't care about winning, and maybe that's the case.
Or maybe he's kin.
They've got Mike. How about the fact that when he's healthy, they've got Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani?
And Rendon. Yeah. I mean,
the Angels, known as one of the best teams in all of baseball, aren't they? Or
that's not accurate. Oh. But
well, they got the MVP. They must be good. What a fun place to play. You're
in Los Angeles with a bajillion dollars.
You get 60% of your money taken away from you, and you can't even get to 80 wins.
Yeah, but look at the bottle service.
Tight.
Look at the great nightclubs and the bottle service that you get there.
Bottle service is a lot less expensive here in Houston, for
That's
example.
That's right, but he
unless
doesn't care.
You go to your
but you know
restaurant.
What? He's got so much money. He's got so much damn money, he can actually go to an Italian restaurant here and eat. Which I can't do because it's too expensive.
Well,
terrible.
I concur with that.
Yeah, you concur, all right. It's 725 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. 7378037776. If Carlos does 8 years, what are the chances he's making more than 30 per on a new deal? After eight years, he's not. What do you mean? After his 8 years, if he makes more than 30 mil on a new deal $240 million.
He'd be in his mid-30s.
No. You're not making that more
He'd
than
be
that.
In his mid-30s. I can't see. Unless it was, Now maybe baseball's maybe the price points change drastically in 2030. You know, maybe by 2030 he's making substantially more money. So maybe he would sign a, you know, maybe he'd get a 3-year deal worth $100 million.
Maybe. Yeah.
You know, maybe that would be like a Michael Brantley deal at that particular time. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I think Clint's asking that from a standpoint of maybe it's actually an advantage to get to the market faster, Carlos. We can get to the market quicker.
Yeah, 8 years. Why don't we give you 4 years at 30?
Oh, Carlos would take it. Yeah. Carlos would say, no. I'll take 4 years at $40 million, and then let me hit the market again.
No, I don't think he would. I think he wants long term. He doesn't want 160. He wants.
Who wants 160 million?
No,
not me.
He wants.
Not me.
Well, look what.
I know, but if you
look
got
what Bryce Harper did, though, 14 years. Look what Tatis did. Dumb. They're dumb. 14 years. They want the biggest. They want the most big money, guaranteed money that you can get. And they were stupid.
It's just never dumb to take over $300 million. I just can't say anything like that is dumb. It's guaranteed, no matter what. If Fernando Tatis is, if he ends up in a wheelchair, he's getting paid. It doesn't matter. So I don't know if that's that dumb. Now, he is one of the guys who is with that company that spotted him, I think, $1 million up front, and now they get...
Yes.
What percentage of his contract now? Yeah. Is it 10%?
I think they got 5% for the rest of his... What? 5% for the rest of his life.
Higher, but it's a ton. Everything.
If he, you know, if he's washing dishes in a restaurant after his career's over, they get 5% of that dish.
Well, he's really done poorly with his money if that's the case.
If that is the case. So, hey... Some guys, they go broke, bro.
I know.
728 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. That's an underdog, though.
Underdog fantasy. See, that didn't even make sense as a.
No, it wasn't. It was a bad
transition
tease.
There.
No, that was a bad.
Underdog fantasy. So I was there the other day signing up for a fantasy football matchup. I do baseball from time to time too. I actually did one of the pick'ems where you have to pick two or more people, and if you hit it basically parlays out. It's a multiplier, and I hit four of the five. Stupid Lance Lynn was the loser. I didn't get enough strikeouts, but they've got right now the Puppy 3. Costs just $5 to enter. There's $1 million in prizes. It's a full season long fantasy football contest. Best Ball Mania 2. It's $1 million for first place, 3.5 million in prizes, and that's a full season NFL. And then Big Dog, which is an NFL full season, $250 entry with $525,000 in prizes. Listen, every time you get a draft your fantasy football team, and it's really great because if you're skilled at this, you can have a big advantage when it comes to finding some of the guys that are more volatile but can hit big in any given week. You don't have to sit or start anyone. Your best scores are the ones who end up in your starting lineup at the end of the week. That's how it works. Go check them out at underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code radio. They're going to give you a $25 cash bonus in your account with your first deposit. Underdogfantasy.com, promo code radio.
When it comes to sports betting, sportsmapbets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, sportsmapbets has all the info you need to make the best play. sportsmapbets.com. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
732 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, we've got a fantasy football hour coming up that you will not have anywhere else right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know, you have to make decisions on the show, and one of our decisions has been we used to have a guy who would come on and somebody would call in and say, hey, I've got Aaron Rodgers or Jimmy Garoppolo. Who should I start? Well, and first of all, that's dumb. And secondly, that's bad radio because you're the only person that has that situation. So we're not going to do that. What we're going to do is we're going to have four different experts in fantasy football on with us. Evan Silva, Field Yates, Dave Richard, and Adam Rank, all going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. So
four guys who are considered some of the best in the business.
Lance set all of this up. He knows all these guys. He set all this stuff up. and we're going to talk to each of them about each position, quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and then tight ends and sleepers. So we are going to have, for those of you that are fantasy football fans, here are the experts' opinions about these positions. That's going to happen the entire 9 o'clock hour right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Your home for breaking all big stories around the country. I talked to Luch yesterday after we were done. For those of you who don't know, yesterday, just casually, Jimbo Fisher said, yeah, we talked to Haynes King yesterday and told him he's the starter. But, you know, Zach is really good. Kelzad is really good. So that was a breaking story. And David Nuno texted me right away and said, oh, well, congratulations on your scoop, because no one knew that. Now, even though we did know, and Luch had been sitting on it for, I mean, I think it was probably pretty obvious to everybody that Haynes King was going to be the guy. But, you know, the number 5 team in the country names their starting quarterback. And, you know, it wasn't. Listen, C.J. Stroud was mentioned, was named the starting quarterback at Ohio State. He shot up the Heisman rankings. He just exploded because, well, I think it was a foregone conclusion that C.J. Stroud was going to be. But when you name the guy, now all of a sudden, because look, I thought, but by all accounts, I thought Drew Locke was winning the job in Denver.
I did too. He had some really good, the Teddy Bridgewater thing caught me by surprise yesterday.
Yeah.
It really did. And I think what it tells you is you can now circle Denver as a Deshaun Watson potential destination, because that basically means they've given up on Drew Locke. Even if they go back to Drew Locke, the fact that he couldn't beat out Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, but I was listening to Mark Schlereth this morning, and he made a pretty good point. He says the Denver defense is actually going to be pretty good. I mean, he said, "Hey, look, Von Miller looks rejuvenated. They're deep, Sertan. They've got a really good defensive backfield. They're going to be really good." What they want is some consistency. Drew Locke had the worst completion percentage in the league. He's too up and down. He'll throw an 80-yard touchdown pass, but what they want is for you to hold on to the ball. They're going to win. They're going to play low-scoring, hard-fought football games because Vic Fangio's a defensive coach. That's what they're going to do. They don't want a Drew Locke who's going to throw 3 straight incompletions, give the ball back to the other team. They want a guy who's going to be able to matriculate down the field in Teddy Bridgewater, high percentage quarterback, who's going to be able to hit receivers. And you know what? And we hold on to the ball. We play game management, ball control, offense. And we want somebody who's going to be consistent. I don't know that it was per se that I don't know that Teddy Bridgewater is better than Drew Locke. But he's better for this football team.
It's a commentary on Drew Locke, and that's kind of my point. Is this is about, they're making a statement about Drew Locke. Drew Locke was one of those guys that I was not a fan of coming out because he has issues that I didn't think are correctable.
Well, he wasn't really good too against good teams.
He was bad against good teams. Bad. Like Georgia, he was an atrocity.
Alabama,
terrible. Georgia. The best teams he faced, he played some of his worst football. The second thing is, He had some inaccuracy issues that I didn't think was correctable. And the same things, all this stuff is just coming true in Denver. And so what's going to happen now is they've made a statement about their thoughts on Drew Locke. Teddy Bridgewater is not a long-term solution in Denver, not at the level that they want him to be. He's okay, but he's not a guy that you lock in with. Like, here's a guy that can help us win at a high level. We already know that
he's a journeyman already.
Now, obviously, there is a legitimate question about whether or not the team would want to take on Deshaun Watson. What ownership? Okay, I get that. That's a real concern.
Well, Schlereth made that point too. He said, "Why would Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson both through the grapevine have both made it be known Denver would be a place to go? They've got all kinds of weapons at wide receiver,
tons of weapons,
tight end, and the defense is great. So." That's a destination that people would want to be. The thing that they're lacking is that quarterback.
Yeah. No, I think this basically means they're going to look for a quarterback in the offseason. And they didn't draft a quarterback. There was talk about Justin Fields there. They didn't. That was not going to be what Denver was looking for. So I think when you look at potential locations for Deshaun Watson, once again, the locations that Deshaun liked a lot before all this stuff happened was San Francisco, who that's out now with Trey Lance. Miami, still a possibility. And Denver, still a possibility. I don't know that he likes Philadelphia. And the reason I keep bringing it up is because he's got a no-trade clause. So if he doesn't want to go somewhere, he doesn't have to go somewhere. But Denver, I could see Denver in the mix.
Yeah.
I could see Denver in the mix. We already know, and I don't think he'll be here after this year, but Kareem Jackson was pining for him publicly. Once again, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't anybody's
Kareem Jackson's still a Bronco after next year.
Right.
But I think Denver is for sure a team to keep an eye on, especially with them getting away from Drew Lock. That's why I'm never a big fan of rushing this whole idea of Deshaun Watson, because do you know how many teams there are going to be who are talking quarterback next year? A ton. And if this quarterback draft fails to impress, if the names that we hear about, Keaton Slovis and Malik Willis and Sam Howell and, you know, anybody else up there at the top of the list of quarterbacks, if it's not an impressive list, and right now there is no Trevor Lawrence anywhere to be found, there's not one of those guys out there, then I could see you end up with 6-7 teams looking at quarterbacks, and I could see a lot of those teams saying, ugh, none of these quarterbacks do it for us. We're just not convinced these are guys that we can win at the highest level. And if that's the case, you could find a bidding war. Now, the problem is Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the market too.
Yeah.
And he's a short term. And if you're Denver, you may say, look, we would rather have a 2-year deal with Aaron Rodgers. Although I think they did that with Peyton Manning.
That's how they won.
And they won that. Yeah. And they may be looking for three. If you get Deshaun Watson and give up all those draft picks, because I would have to think that Deshaun Watson is going to cost you more draft picks than Aaron Rodgers just based on age alone.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is a free agent. He's not going to cost you any draft picks.
Oh, no. But they did it so they could trade him next year. He's not going to be a free agent. They made it where they could get out of the contract.
Oh, yeah.
And
they
created it so that they could deal him next year. So I think they will try to trade him for draft picks. That's what's going to suck. What we need. Now, there's been talk that he's actually in Green Bay, supposedly. They feel like he's got a renewed energy there, and in camp there's an energy. They seem to think there's a chance they could hang on to him now.
Really?
So I'm all for it. Keep him.
Well,
I'm trying to get the most. Look, I just got Carlos Correa signed.
Well, yeah,
year, $240 million deal. I'm trying to get us 4 firsts for Deshaun.
Well, and Charles Robinson the other day wrote an article that we never really got to. He says that it's Roger Goodell who's holding up a Deshaun Watson trade to the Miami Dolphins, because he will not give the Dolphins refusing to give Miami significant clarity on the NFL investigation and when and if Watson could land on the exempt list in 2021. Charles Robinson, I don't know that. I mean, first of all, I don't know that Roger Goodell could give anybody any clarity. By all accounts, the NFL investigation has come to a halt because of the FBI investigations. They don't want them mucking up the waters of an FBI investigation. And then how does Roger Goodell know when and certainly there's an if Deshaun Watson is going to land on the – I think it's – no, the probability is great that he's going to land on the exempt list in 2021 as soon as the season gets here. There's nowhere for him to go. So I don't know that it's Roger Goodell. I think it's probably the Miami Dolphins. What would you give? The Texans are still asking for 3 first-round picks. Who's giving up 3 first-round picks for a guy they don't know anything? That he's going to be in prison or not?
It's impossible.
It's impossible.
Right now. You can't right now. I think Miami is ultimately the favorite, because I don't think Tua is going to do anything special this year. And if he doesn't, Miami's putting themselves in a position to be a factor in the AFC. If they don't get good enough quarterback play, I think they will look over at the Houston Texans. But the deal is, Nick Caserio, you're not getting any bonuses from the Texans, especially after what you did to the Texans, what you did to Bill O'Brien. That was wrong. It was wrong what Chris Greer did, and he needs to be punished.
What?
And now you punish him by jacking the price up on Deshaun Watson.
Wow.
That's how it works.
Wow.
You did this to us, you know. You did this to us. Now we're going to do this to you.
Well, bad stuff.
Yeah. You want to play ball? You need a quarterback? Here you go. Oh, no. You know what? Why don't you just draft Sam Howell? See how that works. Maybe a quarterback battle between Sam Howell and Tua. That'd be cute.
Ooh.
Or do you want this guy? Or do you want this guy right here?
Isn't Josh Rosen? Oh, no, somebody just picked up Josh Rosen. Oh, the Falcons did, didn't they?
Yes, because AJ McCarron's hurt.
You know what? He'll be available again.
Yeah, and they brought in Blake Bortles right after that because they watched Josh Rosen throw and went, oh, crap.
703-780-3776.
You couldn't even make it with San Francisco 49ers. The most quarterback-friendly, and Kyle Shanahan's like, get this guy out of here.
Get this.
I don't want to look at this
guy. All right, when we come back, ESPN, more. The mother station has more controversy going on, and we'll talk about that. Yeah, there's drama. We'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, let's talk a little bit about GimmeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf, and he just loves to talk about – that's all he talks about on these spots that he does with me is he just wants to talk about GimmeTheVin.com. He doesn't care about, you know, did you ever have a granny? He never cares about who – you know, how much drugs you did as a kid or any of that stuff. He doesn't like that. So he doesn't like talking about that stuff. What he likes talking about is how he's giving you the most money for your vehicle every single time. You know, he's been in Houston for I don't know how long. He is by far the best in the country, the private best privately owned car buyer in the country. This is not even arguable. And, you know, when he's doing this, there's a reason he's the best is because he's giving you more money for your car. And right now, it's a crazy, crazy market, but it is ending. It is ending because new cars are going to be produced at a rapid rate soon. So if you're looking to sell your car, do it now. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
G'day, mates. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. When I'm not playing rugby, I'm listening to John and Lance on the bench. Go Sabercats.
Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. There's a lot of stories to get to. One is Rachel Nichols is out at ESPN. They've canceled her show, her NBA, The Jump. They've canceled
that. Out?
She's out. They've canceled The Jump.
They've taken her off. They've taken her off basketball. I mean,
no. The word is she's out.
Okay.
So, I mean, I get it. But well, first of all, she did attack ESPN. They're awful. Remember one of the quotes from, what was it, a year ago or so. And when she found out that Maria Taylor was getting the NBA gig, the NBA Finals gig, she was like, that's mine. They're just trying to make up for ESPN for their horrible policies on diversity here. So she did attack she did attack Mickey, which I think that is probably what eventually got her fired. But there's a stink about Rachel Nichols now with this. There's this stigma of her, I don't want to say it. She really didn't. I mean, Rachel Nichols was pissed because Maria Taylor was getting a job that she felt she should have had.
No, she was promised that. It was actually in her contract. Yeah. I talked to somebody at ESPN and found out all that stuff. Well, it was actually in Rachel. This is what a lot of people don't realize. It was in Rachel Nichols' contract. They went back on her contract, is what I was told. They doubled back and took it out.
Take out something on a contract that you've signed.
From what I understand, they did. She was supposed to be.
Or they broke the contract.
They broke the contract.
Yeah.
Which is why it'll be interesting to see if she gets a buyout or how this works. But I heard some interesting stuff. I kind of felt one way about it because I think Maria Taylor's really, really talented.
She's really good.
Think Rachel Nichols, after talking to somebody in the know over there, she may have had a legitimate beef.
Yeah, no, listen.
Without
she felt like she was, you know, she was a jilted lover. Well, she was a jilted employee. And you know what? You know, I mean, granted, she used the race card. Oh, she's moving
she
up.
She had a conversation off air.
Well,
that
she
was
actually
recorded.
Was on air because she was sure she didn't know that her laptop Zoom was still going. That's what happened.
Wait. I thought this was
this.
Oh, that's right. It was the Zoom. It was, but somebody who was a producer. She didn't say
that
on camera.
No, right. She was recorded. Somebody definitely betrayed. There's no question.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she was betrayed. And
because they said at ESPN this was known by a lot of people. This is a year old. The story just never leaked until Maria Taylor couldn't get her contract stuff done, and then it was a lot of people believe strategically leaked.
Yes.
To put more pressure.
Yes. Yes. Maria Taylor was having a hard time in her contract negotiations where she wanted $8 million a year and she wasn't going to get it. She's out at ESPN. And now it looks like Rachel Nichols is out at ESPN as well. So there is that. So speaking of which, I mean, speaking of sensitivity here in our world, you see Comedy Central deleted Diversity Day. It was part two. They played the first episode, but they refused to play the second episode. And you know, Steve Carell actually he predicted this. He said,
"Yeah."
He said, "Well, in a few years, we won't be able to play this anymore."
Yeah,
because there was a lot of inappropriateness.
Well, it was cringeworthy. Yes. It was envelope pushing. Michael Scott was primarily.
Yes.
Michael Scott, every once in a while, Todd Packer, too. I've been watching some of the marathon stuff. My kids, Alec watched The Office and loved it. You know, right. So I would catch him watching. I would watch some of it. Todd Packer was. But, you know, the sexist stuff. But that's the point is they were highlighting. They were making. It was satire.
Yeah.
It was satire. But we can't. We have this. This is why a SEC guy can't come back. Because people don't. You've got a whole generation of people who don't understand satire. They can't deal with it. They don't get satire.
Hold on a second. I just got a question for you. If SEC guy can't come back, then Tony the Hatchet Man can't come back.
Why not?
Because I feel like that he is attacking my Italian culture. That's why.
That's fine.
So I feel like I'm violated there.
The Italians
by Tony the Hatchet Man.
The Italians can be attacked.
No, Italians can't be a thing.
Oh, but baby, I can do. Look at me. I'm a little Irish little man. Look at me at the end of the pot of gold. I think I'm going to have some drinks.
You see? No one cares.
Oh, I'm really drunk. Oh. I'm an Irishman that's drunk.
No one cares.
Hey, look at me. I'm an Italian. What are you going to do with the day?
No one cares.
Yeah.
We can do that.
No,
now
I do
listen
care.
To me do a no, Chinese do man. Hi, I'm Shohei Ohtani. I hope you guys are doing great. All right, cool. See?
That's Shohei Ohtani?
Yes.
That doesn't sound like Shohei Ohtani.
That's how you do
Shohei Ohtani. That's a bad imitation of Shohei Ohtani.
Here is how, name a Jimmy Garoppolo. That's Italian, right?
Yeah.
Hey, look at me. I'm a Jimmy Garoppolo. I can't believe. Look at this prosciutto you gave me. This is a great. You call it a prosciutto? I call it a trash.
Now do Hugh Grant.
Oh, I'm Hugh Grant. I hope I don't run into any prostitutes in here. Maybe I can just touch up a prostitute here or there.
No, see, you can't do that.
Why not?
Because you're imitating someone's accent.
No, I can do English, too.
No, you can't.
Yeah, now tell me a different one to do.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Because it now you hurt my feelings.
No,
because
I can do
I'm
that.
British too.
I can do Hugh Grant.
And oh, by the way, okay. I'm in the Asian community, and you're Shohei Ohtani.
You're not in the Asian community.
Yes, I am.
No.
Did I not live next door?
Here, let me do Yao Ming. Hi, everybody. I'm Yao Ming. I hope you guys are enjoying my restaurant called Yao's. And I hope you guys are having a great time.
Yeah. Well, guess what? No more Tony the Hatchet Man.
Can I get you some more? Would you like some more breadsticks?
There's no breadsticks at Yao's.
There isn't my Yao Ming's restaurant. Right. I like to play it safe.
Hey,
can I get
Aaron,
you guys
Aaron,
more
you
chips and salsa? Or
Aaron, you
want to
get
bread?
In some trouble? Why don't you play something from Diversity Day?
No. Pam, come on. I like your food. No, come on. Stir the pot. Stir the melting pot. Bam. Let's do it. Let's get ugly. Let's get real.
Okay. If I have to do this, based on stereotypes that are totally untrue, that I do not agree with, you would maybe not be a very good driver.
Oh, man, am I a woman?
That was not it.
That wasn't it. You missed it.
That scene is them playing that old card game where you write somebody like and you stick it to your forehead. And they all had different minorities and different types of setups. And Dwight was Asian.
It's the whole show. That whole
man,
thing
am I
was,
a woman?
That whole show, that was season one, by the way. It didn't get good until, to me, season two, because it was too much. They tried too much to be the British version, and then they found themselves. By season two, it really locked in on kind of their own version of it. But, I mean, it was okay. It still had their funny. But it's meant to poke, to
did
be self-deprecating
say,
and poke.
Did you say Shohei Ohtani Chinese?
No, Japanese.
Yeah, I think you said Chinese.
Am I canceled?
Everybody.
I think I may have. Well, he's Japanese. Did I say Chinese?
What about male? Why can't we have male golfer, female golfer food anymore then?
Nope.
You want to play? What?
Because Wendy, because I'm trying to help you, and I'm trying to help Wendy.
Wendy, actually, you are. Yeah, you are. Actually.
That's what people don't understand about this.
Yeah.
I'm actually helping Wendy.
Yeah. Yes. A rival GM. Never mind. Never mind.
No, what?
I can't tell this story. Anyway, he did say Chinese.
No, I did. I meant Japanese for Shohei Ohtani. I went Yao. I was going to say Yao, and then I tried to come up with somebody. Said Chinese, and I was going to say Yao, but I wanted to come up with somebody more timely.
Current.
More current. And then, yeah, I went to.
Pass the breadsticks, Yao. Yao doesn't.
Yeah, in my restaurant, I'm trying to play it safe. Okay? I can say chips and salsa or breadsticks with Yao.
If you just said chips and salsa,
I would. Can I interest you guys in some more chips and salsa? No thanks, Yao. Now watch me with my Italian. You putting the olive oil with your bread? You need some dipping, some of the dipping stuff that concoction of different herbs that we put in the olive oil? Yeah. I'm fine. No one cares.
Well, speaking of which, what about Jeff Aronoff? How does he sound?
You know me, Jeff Aronoff. I hope you want to get yourself maybe an outdoor tile, or maybe you're looking for some marble. I got a marble slab for you, and you don't make an ice cream on this marble slab. You make a romance. You got to sign it on that marble I put in. You better believe it. You can make a lot of dates on that romance stone. I call it romance in the stone. Hey, look at me, John. I'm moving my pelvis. Yeah.
That's Jeff Aronoff. That was. Oh, thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. That was Jeff.
Yeah.
That's Jeff Aronoff live right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And he will bring you romance. He will romance the stone. What kind of marble, granite, tile? What do you need? What kind of countertop? What kind of vanity? What kind of entire bathroom do you need? What kind of entire kitchen, outdoor kitchen? What do you need? Jeff Aronoff has it for you, and he talks like that. Actually, he's not Italian. I don't know where that came up, but he certainly can do you wonders at Absolute Marble and Granite. He will put in all of that, and it's got to be a big job, people. You got a big job? Jeff Aronoff is here for you. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.